2 weeks ago, I tried to give a little bit of a hakdama, to what we're going to try to do. And as I said last time, that really it's all b'teres hakdamas. But I wouldn't dare to assume that anybody like myself has either the right or the ability to bring anybody into the heichel of this tzaddik who is kodesh kadoshim. But at the same time, Rabbi Nachman himself really wanted all of us, each person on his own level, to learn his Torahs and to connect to his Torahs. So I guess that's the b'shus that he gave us to try. So I mentioned last time, after that hakdama, that it would be very kedai. It's always kedai to try to keep up, but especially here, if you can't make it 1 week, it's kedai to try to listen to the recording, because this way one is able to keep the hemshich, especially when we talk about Rabbi Nachman's life. It's important to have the full picture, and it's chaval to be missing chunks, years of his short life, because it's difficult to appreciate the Torah without having a hergish. Again, when I say a hergish, I mean an al madrega, a hergish of what Rabbi Nachman lived through and how he became such a person. So I said last time that we would begin tonight by learning about the chshivas in Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, the chshivas of telling stories of tzaddikim. Since we're going to be spending the next few months talking about the life of the tzaddik, I wanted to begin by looking into Likutei Maran, into his Torahs, to appreciate the significance, the unbelievable chshivas of telling Sipur Maisius, of telling stories of tzaddikim, which people from the outside think is a charming, sweet, nice thing, but people from the inside understand that really the ikkar is the story. The Torah is only to help understand the story, not the other way around. And we'll begin. You have in front of you, it says from the Sefer HaZoyar. Of course, that doesn't mean anybody should say, oh, we'll come home and tell your parents or your husband or wife, we learned Zohar today. We're not learning Zohar. It's a piece that's nigla and open for all of us. And we'll just do it together as a way to prepare to enter into Likutei Maran. Now, this is the Zohar. On the bottom is the Perush of the Zohar, written by a great Mekubal in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Daniel Frisch. The Perush is called Mosik Midvash. That parish is very, very good because it helps all of us to understand the simple pshat in the words of the Zohar, which of course is in Aramaic, and this will help us. So we'll read it along in the Aramaic. We'll read along probably just kedai to go straight to the bottom where we can read the Aramaic. It's all of the Nekudas, and we'll read the Hebrew translation of the Zohar. V'oid d'shar amen kadasoy l'meseyhoin kishar ha'umas. Do you see the Hebrew translation on the bottom? When people from other nations go to cemeteries, when they go to the graves of those who have passed away, Asyon Bekharshin Lisora Alayhu Zinin Bishin Heimboim Bikshofim Loira Alayhem Minekhis Heroin. Everybody knows that in ancient times, but even nowadays, there are all kinds of kaiches of tumah, of impurity, that are to be found in a cemetery, and the purpose of non-Jews going to the cemetery doesn't mean all of them, but what's happening there is that there is a hisairus, there is an awakening of darker kaiches in creation from the other side. When Jews go to the cemetery, when we go to the graves, Asyon v'kamet shuva l'kamet kud shabrich, hein boi mit shuva shleimel l'fnei kadosh baruch hu. And we're talking about when a person goes to visit even a loved one, a father or a mother, somebody who has passed away, to go to the cemetery. Allah has come of a Kamun, we're going to Kivrei Tzadikim. And in order to understand what has happened, that in our generations, it's such a long time since Rabbi Nachman was Nifter, that in our generation there's such a hisaris for thousands and thousands of people to go to his tzion. So the Zoya says, when a Jew comes to the cemetery, he comes for the purpose of doing tshuva, to return to Hashem. A person comes with a tzibrach in a heart, with a broken heart, fasting. When you go to the cemetery, the neshamas hakadoshes, those holy neshamas of the Jews who are buried there, they go and they see somebody remembers them, and they see that somebody comes to the tzion, comes to the grave. So those neshamas go and they beg Hashem on behalf of that person. And Hashem has rachmanis on the world. Hashem has rachmanis on the world in the schus of those holy neshamas that are buried. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai taught, and regarding this we have learned. Now, till now we're talking about to go to a cemetery, but now the tzaddikim is unbelievable. Ki tzaddika af agav de ispitar mihay alma. A tzaddik, he says, af al pisha tzaddik nifter mizeha oilam. Even though the tzaddik has left this world, even though he's no longer alive, lo yistalik v'lo yisavid mikula alman. Lo yistalik v'lo yinevad mikol ha'oilamas. The only world that the tzaddik has really left is the one that's visible to our eyes, which in the bigger picture of things is not much to be impressed with, this whole world. It's the lower last little piece of reality is this world. I mean, we take it very, very seriously, but it's really not so impressive. And that's the only place that tzaddik is not to be found. He says, but really, it's like nostalgic, like never, Mikol Ha'olamos, the Habakulo Alman, not only is the tzaddik alive, but the Rabbi Shimon said, there's a letter in the Geras HaKadosh in Balatani about this. Chavtas. That what? That Rabbi Shimon says that, Adarabba, when the tzaddik was in this world, when the tzaddik was still in this world, he was bound by physical reality, and physical reality, even in the life of a great exalted tzaddik, creates some constriction, some limitation. That sof kol sof, the tzaddik has to eat, and the tzaddik has to be part of this world, and the tzaddik, because of that, because of his connection to physical reality, the tzaddik's kaiches are somewhat diminished. But when the tzaddik leaves the world, so that's what Rabbi Shimon says. When the tzaddik leaves the world, and we have to remember the Zohar, that not only is the tzaddik alive, but the b'kulo alman nishtakach yatir mechayoi. That means that he's found in the worlds more than when he was alive. The b'chaya yishtakach b'hay alman b'lechadoi, ki b'chaya v'nimse b'zeha oylam b'lvat. Because while the tzaddik was alive, he was only in this world. He was just in this world when the tzaddik was alive, and he was bound to this world. Ulevasa, va'achar p'tirasai, after the tzaddik has died, ishtakach b'tlas almin. After the tzaddik has died, he is now able to exist in three worlds. Honimsa b'sholosh olamos, dahainu, ha'nefesh choyfeif al atzomus b'kever. The nefesh, that level of soul, that's called nefesh, remains of the tzaddik, remains attached to the bones that are in the grave. In other words, when we go to Kivrei Tzaddik, when we go to the grave of a tzaddik, the nefesh of the tzaddik remains attached in a very amazing and mysterious way. Obviously, it's not for us to go into right now. It remains attached to the bones of the tzaddik. There's the presence of the tzaddik's nefesh in the Beis Olam, in the cemetery. The haruach, so that's one world. That's in the world of nefesh, that is chayfeif, meaning it's not any longer in a state of of being absorbed in the bones. It's chayfeif. In other words, it's hovering ever so gently, ever so delicately above the bones of the tzaddik, but it's present over there in the cemetery, in the tzion, by the tzion. That's the nefesh. V'haruach nimsa began eden hatachtoin. The ruach of the tzaddik is dwelling in that dimension of existence that's called the lower Gan Eden, lower paradise. And we're not going to go into that now. Ruach nimsa began eden hatachtoin. V'haneshama nimtzeis began eden ha'elyon. And the neshama of the tzaddik is found in that higher realm, the higher dimension of paradise of Gan Eden. The zamin legabayu umotzui b'chol elu ha'olamis. And therefore the tzaddik, after he leaves the world, he's no longer held in this one world that we're in, but the tzaddik is living in all of these worlds, d'chsiv. And Rabbi Shimon darshens on this the pasuk. This is a very, very remarkable drasha. I mean, we could talk about this for a couple of centuries. We don't have time. We have to get moving. The Chesiv, as it's written in Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shalem Yishakenim Nishikais Pirki Toivim L'Decha Miyayin. Right? L'Reach Shemecha Toivim L'Shem Aturak Shemecha Al-Kain Al-Lomois Ahivucha. The simple meaning of Al-Kain Al-Lomois Ahivucha means that all of the young maidens, they all love you, Hashem. Al-Kain Al-Lomois Ahivucha, or the Chassan in Shir Hashim. The Chassan in Shir Hashim, of course, is Hashem. He's the Chassan. So Al-Kain Al-Lomois Ahivucha, which Rashi tells us that all of the nations of the world, the Yisro and Rus and so on, Al-Kain Al-Lomois Ahivucha, they're all drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Shimon learns, Al-Kain Al-Lomois Ahivucha, Al-Tikri Al-Lomois, Al-Lomois, which means the young girls, it means the maidens, Al-Kain Al-Lomois Shepirusho Na'arais, the simple pshat, the simple meaning of the word Al-Lomois, as I said, is girls. But Al-Kain Al-Lomois Ahivucha, who are the Al-Lomois? Ella Olamus. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that what's hinted here is the Olamus, worlds. Al-Lomois Olamus. Dahainu Hatzadikim Hanimtsoyim B'chol Sholosh Olamus Ayavim Aischa. That now the tzaddik, who while he was alive could only love you in this world, now the tzaddik who has been freed from the chains of this world is able to love you in all worlds, and to not only to love, but to inspire others to love on different madrigas, on a much deeper madrig that he was able to inspire while he was in this world. I've mentioned many times that when Rabbi Nachum was dying, you know, he died a very horrible death. He had tuberculosis, and the end of his life was very, very terrible. And at one time the family was there, and some of the close Hasidim were there, and Rabbi Nachum was coughing for a long time, and blood was coming out in his coughing, and they couldn't hold back. They started to cry, and Rabbi Nachman said, "What are you crying about?" He says, "Believe me, that for me to go from this world to the next world is more difficult, or it's not harder for me than changing my coat. That's all. I'm just changing my coat. That's all it is." For the tzaddik who understands that this world, and you see by some of those great exalted tzaddikim, the Ari HaKadosh, the Ramchal, these great mekubalim that really were mechadish very deep secrets in Kabbalah and Sisrei Torah, that they were uncomfortable in this world, and they didn't remain in this world for too long. So these are the olamos that the tzaddik is able now to inhabit, in which he can love Hashem completely. Zakol chalkeim, ashrei chalkem shel tzaddik. Fortunate are the tzaddikim who are able to dwell in these worlds. Now, last 2 weeks ago, it was Parshas Noach, and I'm sure that those of you here recall that we were talking about Rabbi Nachman's name, right? That Chazal have taught us that the name Noach also has contained within it, in a very remarkable and hidden way, the name Nachman, as it says in Chumash, Zeh Yenachameinu, you remember? He will bring us comfort. He will console us. We spoke about the two levels of Nechama. One is the chizik that Rabbi Nachman has given the world and gives the world mamish every single minute. That's the Nechama of Nachman. And the second thing is, Nechama means to help us learn how to do tshuva, because Nechama also means, Vayinachem means what? You remember the second meaning? To regret. To regret the wrong that one has done. But Rabbi Nachman combined the Nechama in both meanings, which is that a person should be able to have his chazkes, and through this chaskis, and with unbelievable simcha, that the person should be able to change his past, to be able to change his life. I remember this morning that really this, I didn't notice that, but I'll just share with you one sentence before we look inside the Likutei Moran, that the Zohar Kodesh darshens on the two times that it says Noach. Eila told us Noach is tzaddik. Noach is tzaddik. This is the offspring of Noach. Noach is tzaddik. So the Zohar Kodesh asks, Loma Noach, Noach trei zimni. The Zohar Kodesh asks, why is it that Noach is written twice? We don't have to have it twice. Why does it say Ella told us Noach, Noach? Ella kol tzaddik getzaddik di ba'olmi isle trei muchen. Here the Zohar Kodesh talks about the number two. Again, we don't have time to discuss this, the difference, why it's here three and here it's two. Here it talks also about the nefesh. It's not important for right now. But the Zohar says, the reason that it says, Eila told us Noach, Tzveimol, twice, Eila told us Noach, is because the Zohar says that every tzaddik in the world has two ruchais. He exists on two spiritual levels, two ruchais. Rucha chad be'olma dein, v'rucha chad be'olma da'asi. There's one ruach of the tzaddik that is in this world, and there's another ruach that's in Olam Haba. And that's why the Zohar says, v'achi tishkach b'kulu tzaddikim. That's why you see by the tzaddikim, it says twice, Moshe, Moshe, Yaakov, Yaakov, Avram, Avram, Shmuel, Shmuel, and so on. And Eila told us Noach, Noach. That means, as the Mefarshim explained here in the Zohar Kodesh, that means what we just learned a minute ago on this page, that the tzaddik, even though we can't see him with our eyes, and he's no longer part of this physical world that we're in, this world of Lamatim Yasar Tvachim, in this world, but Eila told us Noach, Noach, and the reason that Hashem Baruch calls the tzaddik by twice, Moshe, Moshe, Avram, Avram, and so on, with the exception of Yitzhak, which the Zohar is darshaning on over here, while Yitzhak is not. So the reason that it's twice is that each and every one of us has to know, and it's the Yisoid of our Emunah. It's the Yisoid of our Emunah. That even when the tzaddik is no longer alive, and his neshama has returned to its makor, to its source in the higher world, it's the Yisoid of the Emunah of each and every one of us, that even though the tzaddik's neshama has left this world and returned to the higher world, but that neshama is meyer, is me'ira, is illuminating lamata, lamata, all the way in this world, mamish, as we learned before in the Zohar Kodesh, in a certain respect, even on a higher madrega, than it was while the tzaddik was alive. And for us to understand how is it possible that this tzaddik, who left the world quite some time ago, and while he was alive, Lamaisa had a very small following. It wasn't easy to be one of Rabbi Nachman's chassidim. It wasn't an easy thing. Nowadays, you know, nowadays to be a chassid, if you have enough money to buy a bekesh and a shtram, you're pretty much set. And you buy yourself a couple of svarim, you put on the shelf, and if you go to a tzaddik and you connect to a tzaddik, that's unbelievable. And if you really, really learn the Torah of the tzaddik, it's even greater. Rabbi Nachman's to be a chassid of Rabbi Nachman was very demanding back then, and the truth is, it's demanding now as well. And not everybody that goes is necessarily a chassid of his. Al kol panim, in order for people like us to understand what's the koyach that Rabbi Nachman has over the world that's increasing as we get closer to the Mashiach each and every single day. The koyach of Rabbi Nachman is even greater and greater. So in order for us to understand, we have to realize that the ikkat koyches of that tzaddik, and why davki him? There are other tzaddikim that are like that, but especially Rabbi Nachman in our generation, why is it that davki after the ptira, after the histalkus, after his neshama left the world, Eila told us noich, Eila told us Nachman. We're about to begin the story of Rabbi Nachman's life. We're going to start soon the story of Rabbi Nachman's life. And Eila told us noich, Eila told us Nachman means that even though the neshama of the tzaddik is no longer here, but the tzaddik lives on in two worlds. The tzaddik lives above, and he lives and he continues to live in this world. Not in any way, like, you know, there's a famous thing that there was a tzaddik that was nifter. There was a big tzaddik that was nifter. I'm sure all of you heard this, because this was going around there at Yisrael a lot. I don't know if it's true, but there was a tzaddik that was nifter, and the chassidim, it was a small group, but the chassidim used to be mechabed the Rebbe with an aliyah every single Shabbos. They used to give the Rebbe, call up the Rebbe Amoid, Mirena, Rabbeinu. They used to call up and he wasn't alive. I don't know if they used to answer Christ. I don't know what was going on over there. But when they told this to the Beis Yisrael, you know, in Ger, they don't go for any of this stuff. They told the Beis Yisrael, so the Beis Yisrael, of course, said, Achachma, give him Hagba. That's what you should give him. That's an aliyah, anybody could say, Baruch Hashem, I want to see a Hagba. So, the highest madrega of Amunah, the highest level of Amunah, of course, is that we don't have to see anything with our eyes. We have to believe in the tzaddik. We have to, in that place where you can't see with the eyes. So it's time for us to start to get ready to learn. Again, it's the Teres HaKdama. I'm afraid to, I don't know how long I'm going to put it off, but the Teres HaKdama, the Inyan of telling stories of tzaddikim. So if you look on the page, or if you have a Likut HaMaran, Chof Tes, those of you who are familiar with Likut HaMaran know that, and I mentioned this last week, 2 weeks ago, that when you learn one of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, you can't just read. You have to pretty much give up everything else that you're doing in life and to just put yourself in that Torah, and everything with learning and davening and whatever you're doing becomes part of that Torah. It's very, very hard, once a week, to look a little bit. Some of the Torahs are very, very long and complicated. Rabbi Nachman, besides everything else, was an Ilui Shebiluim. He was a genius of geniuses who was completely proficient from the time that he was a child in all of Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh. You'll be particularly impressed with his knowledge of Tanakh, which is marvel as a Rain. His knowledge of Tanakh, I mean all of Torah Shabbat Peh also, but as far as Tanakh and his use of Tanakh and his understanding of Lashon HaKodesh, it was marvelous Arayin. It's absolutely unique. His knowledge of Tanakh was unique. And in addition, he knew everything else by heart also, as a child. But when it comes to Tanakh, those of you who appreciate Tanakh and Lashon HaKodesh, when you learn Rabbi Nachman, when you learn Likutei Moran, you see a chiddush in his way of learning Tanakh. And his knowledge of Tanakh is just breathtaking. And it never does, even though it never does justice to Rabbi Nachman to learn the Torah quickly, he has some Torahs that are just one sentence. He has Torahs that are two sentences. He has other Torahs that are three, four pages, and very, very difficult and very complicated with many concepts of Kabbalah. And then with Rabbi Nachman, as you're going to see, one of the most difficult things, anybody who's ever learned Rabbi Nachman knows the word Bechina. Bechina, Zeb Bechinas, Zeb Bechinas, Zeb Bechinas, Zeb Bechinas. Which means this is the aspect of, and this is the aspect of, and this is the aspect of. And the only way to really learn it properly is if you have a blackboard and you write it down, and you try to make a diagram of what's going on with all the Bechinas and how they're branching out, the different Bechinas. I saw in a sefer that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rashi from here, who by no stretch of the imagination was a chassid, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, they found the Likutei Moran in his shtender. And this caused a major scandal in Yerushalayim, that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, you know, he had the right to be misnagged, you know. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz had a Likutei Moran in his shtender. So they approached him, and you know, and they said, Reb, you found a... So he says, don't be chayshin me, I'm not... He says, I learned Likutei Moran before the Shia because it sharpens my mind to prepare for the Shia. Just to sharpen my mind. I'm not taking it like seriously. I just, you know, it's good for my head. I just like to sharpen my mind. I don't believe that he didn't take it seriously, but the sharpness of Reb Nachman, the Iluyishkeit, he was a genius. And it's very hard. His tires are hard to hold cup. And that's why when we do it, the person has to put himself in it as much as possible. So we're just learning now a little bit, some shtiklach from a few tires, from three of the tires, and then we're going to daven a little bit, one of the tefillos. The inyan of Sipurim Isis, the importance of telling stories of tzaddikim, which according to Rabbi Nachman is one of the most important religious acts that a Jew is capable of, as much as the nice thing to inspire us, a nice story. Telling a story by Rabbi Nachman is an act, one of the most profound ways of serving Hashem, is telling a ma'aseh. So he begins the Torah, it says, you see what it says, Ki loy kol dibur, chof tes, vais aleph. Ki loy kol dibur nikra dibur. Rabbi Nachman says, not everything that a person says is called speech. Just because you say something doesn't mean that it's called talking. You're saying it, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that it actually... You have the place for Bianca? You have it?
She doesn't have it.
Oh, good. So, not every word that a person speaks is called dibur, is called speech. Speech is choshev. It's not stam. Ki loy kol dibur nikra dibur, ki dibur she'eino nishma v'niskabol, eino nikra dibur. Rabbi Nachman says that when a person speaks and those words are not heard and they're not accepted, they're not received in the person who is listening, ain't a nikra dibur, then it means that it's not really called speech. It means that the person really didn't speak. Bechinas, there's your first bechinas. This is the aspect, or this is what is meant in the pasuk, ain oimer ve'ain dvarim, v'li nishma kailam. There's nothing said and there's nothing spoken unless the voice is heard. Rabbi Nachman is learning means that unless hearing something, you remember, means in Tanakh, hearing doesn't only mean just physically to hear. It means, as we say in Yiddish, to daher. And to daher means like Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael doesn't just mean to listen to something, it means to understand. Right? So when it says in Pasuk, Ein Oimer Ve'ein Dvarim B'li Nishma Kailam, that if the voice is not being heard, if what you're saying is not being understood and received by the other person in a real way, then it's ein oimer ve'ein dvarim. Then it's as if you didn't speak. Ve'ikim ashen is kabel hadibur. So, what is it that causes one's words to be heard? In other words, how does one make one's speech effective? Ve'ikim ashen is kabel hadibur. What causes dibur to be received? Humachmas hatoiv sheyesh bai. Dibur will be received by virtue of the toiv, of the good that is in it. That means that 99.9 and a couple of more 9% of the words that are spoken in the world, a bechlal, not even in the category of dibur, of speech. They don't even rate to be called speech. Because the ikir mash neskabel dibur machmas atoiv sheyesh bai. Dibur is neskabel because of the toiv that's in it. Everybody in the world is waiting to hear something good. Every single person is waiting to hear something good. And if it's not good, then even though the person might listen, and the person says, I understand, and maybe they're even going to write books and make films about what they heard, but be'emes, it wasn't called a spoken word. Umachmas ha-toyv sheyesh, but ki-toyv, the Rebbe says, ha-kol ha-feitzim, because everybody only wants good. Everybody is chalishing for a good word. Everybody just wants to hear a good word. Ki-toyv ha-kol ha-feitzim, v'al kein, therefore, ki-sheyesh toyv v'ha-dibur, when the dibur contains in it toyv, sheyesh toiv b'hadibur, azai hadibur nishma v'niskabel. Then the words are heard and received. Anybody who is zeichet to have a teacher, a rebbe, who said good words. So even though you might not be blessed with a powerful memory, and you might not remember all the specific words and the specific contents of those words. Afal Pichen, as we learned this morning in the Maimer from the Alter Rebbe, there's a Rishimai Nikar, it leaves an imprint upon you. It makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference. There's a Rebbe that I remember, this Rebbe that I had. There are many, many Rebbeim that I had after him that I can't really recall, I don't really remember. And even what I remember, it's not clear. But this Rebbe who was really extraordinary in the Torah that came out from his mouth, there's so much of what he said that I remember, and even that I don't remember specifically, but the Roshim is a very powerful Roshim, because the Rebbe says, Ki Torah HaKol Chafetzim. Therefore, Kshiyesh Torah Badiba Zayhadiba Nishma Ben Eskabel, then the words are heard and they're received. Avok Sh'ein Torah Badibur Ein An Eskabel. But if there is no Torah in the Dibur, then it's not Eskabel, it's not received. Nu, Ve'eich Oysen HaTorah Badibur. Okay. So now we know that the Dibur has to have good in it in order to be heard. Bam is to be heard. So how does one make one's Dibur Torah? How do you infuse your dibur with toif? What is that ingredient that is necessary? Does toif mean to say something encouraging? You know, you're really wonderful. I love you. What is the toif that we're talking about? What does that mean? So Rav Nachman says, and here's the catch, Rabbi Say. Veich oisen hatoif ba'adibur hu ayidei shaloichen hadibur mehadaz. There are people that speak and speak and speak, and what they're saying is not coming from a place of Das. It's not coming from a place that's called Das. We're going to be talking a lot about this Kayach that's called Das. We just know this in English. It's loosely translated as intelligence, but of course it means much, much more than that, and it's connected to the higher elements and what Das means in the spheres. And we're going to be learning a lot about Das, because it's a major ingredient in all of Lukuta Moran, is the Koyach of Das and the meaning of Das. We'll talk a lot about it. So that doesn't mean any of us should give up Chas V'Shalom, because the Iker that Rabbi Nachman says is that what makes Dibur into Dibur that's Toiv is when a person takes his words from Das. From Das. There are very few people that you can visibly see that before they say something, they're actually thinking about it. With some people, it works very, very quickly. And the other people, that they first say things, and they're spending most of their life saying, I didn't really mean to say that. Or, I know you heard that, I know it sounded like that, but that's not what I meant. That's not toiv. That's not toiv. Words that are spoken without das cause terrible pain and destruction. Dibur that is toiv is dibur that comes from that place that's called Das. Sheloichen had dibur mehadas. I can say that since I'm in this world and I remember from my father, I can't say that I ever remember my father saying something that needed to be retracted. At least in my opinion, which, you know, for whatever it's worth, I mean, I've been very attached to that person for a long time. Bli Ayin Hara, never. And he's often quiet. And when he says something, it's deliberate, it's slow, and it was thought out very carefully before it was said. And it's a Dibur Toiv. If I never heard a bad word, Dibur Toiv. And that Dibur, Kshayesh Toiv B'Dibur, then it's received. Adesh Lechna Dibur Mehadas, Azayesh Bay Toiv, Avok Shahadibur B'Loy Das. When dibur, when speech, is without das, it does not come from the place that's called das. Can you imagine trying? Just try. Let's try that for a couple of hours. I don't mean when we're sleeping. A couple of hours when it's labor during the day. Try for 1 hour not to say anything without thinking about it first. It's an avoida kosher shebimigdash. It's a very big avoida to try to think about what you're saying. Many people just realize it's better not to talk so much. Siag l'chach mishtik. Not to say so much. But, aval k'shadiba b'lay das, Rav Nachman says, azay ein b'y toiv, b'pchines gam b'lay das, nefesh l'y toiv. When there's no das, and here's an example how Rav Nachman learns a deeper meaning in the Pasuk of Mishlei. B'loy das, when there's das that's missing, then nefesh loy toiv. Then the nefesh, the soul, is not good. Then the nefesh is in a state of loy toiv. What does that have to do with speech? Nefesh hu adibur. Nefesh means speech. K'maysha kosev, v'hi adam l'nefesh chaya. As it says in Bereishis, man, Hashem exhaled into man a living soul, v'hi adam l'nefesh chaya, and man became a living nefesh, a living soul. The Targumo, and I'm sure most of you know that the Targum translates that as Ruach Memalo, which means a speaking being. Nefesh always means speech, the ability to speak. So the Pasuk says, when the Pasuk says, Gam beloy das, nefesh loy toiv, it means that when one is not connecting his speech to das, when it's beloy das, then the nefesh, then the speech, which is the nefesh, which is the ruach mamalah, will be loy toiv, will be not good. So we need to work on that. So how do we begin? So Ibn Achman says in Ayis Beis, Ula hakim ula raymeim es hadas. So now we're wondering, what do we do about our das? If dibur, in order for dibur to be taiv, it must be dibur that is coming from das. So we're wondering, how does one acquire das? How does one begin to acquire das? So we would think that perhaps that would require some great, unbelievable intellectual undertaking. So Ibn Achman says, ulahakim l'raimim es hadas, in order to lift up. To lift up this koyach of das, who are yidei shevach at tzaddikim. Ibn Achman says, it's by praising the tzaddikim, meaning telling stories, talking about tzaddikim. Who are yidei shevach at tzaddikim. Kshemeshabchin umefarin es at tzaddikim. When we engage in these stories where we praise and glorify the tzaddikim, ayideze nisroi meim hadas. By means of that, one's das is lifted up to a higher place, as Rabbi Nachman says in the Sefer Amidas, one's das becomes connected to the das of the tzaddik. When you identify with the tzaddik, and when you talk about the tzaddik, and when you appreciate the greatness of the tzaddik. The Mitzvah Makadoshim tell us, Rabbi Nachman mentions this in the Sefer Midas, that then you become bound with your das, even though you on your own, your das is weak, but your das becomes connected to the das of the tzaddik. Aydezen nisroimim hadas, v'b'chinas kaneshir yo'ir kinai. Here's again an example. Let's see what Rabbi Nachman does with this pasuk. This should be somewhat familiar. We read it a few weeks ago in Hazino, where the Torah speaks about Hashem's great love for Knesset Yisrael. And there the Torah says that Hashem's relationship with us is like a nesher, like the eagle when it wakes up its little ones. Yo'ir kinai. As Rashi explains over there, that it flutters, it swings, right, above the little ones. Mati v'loy mati, nageya v'ena nageya. It just a little bit touches and then a little bit, right? It touches them and to wake them up, but gently. Kinesha yari kinai. Agayizol of yirachiv. It doesn't possible. So what does this have to do with das and the tzaddik and stories and speech and all of this? Kinesha yari kinai. Nishra darucha. The nesher, it says in the Tikkunim, in the Zohar Kaddish, the Tikkuni Zohar, that the nesher, again, there are code words. When one begins to learn the Svarma Kaddishim, you become more and more familiar with these code words. That what is the eagle? What does the nesher mean? The Zohar says, nesher, nishra darucha. It means ruach. Just like Rashi explains there. The nesher wakes up its little ones with a ruach. It makes a little bit of a ruach, a little bit of a breeze. And it wakes up the little ones. Kenesha Yair Kina. Nishra, the Zoya says, is darucha, means ruach. And ruach, he says, dob chines tzaddik. The Zoya says, ruach is the tzaddik. The b'chinas, how do we know that the tzaddik is ruach? Because it says in Pasuk, when the Rabbanu Shalom was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that it's time to appoint a new leader, right? Who's going to be, of course, Yeshua. So it says, Ish Asheruach Boy. The main qualification to become a manig of the Jewish people is to be a person of ruach, that's the tzaddik. And the tzaddik, just like the nesher, awakens her little ones with a gentle breeze, the tzaddik is ish asher ruach bay. That the tzaddik has to be a person who's able to wake up Jews with the ruach of his Torah, with the ruach piv, with the ruach of his islav, with the ruach of his Torah, with the ruach of his tefillah. He has to be able to awaken Jews. That's the meaning of when it says in the Zohar that nishras da ruach, da b'chines tzaddik, b'chines ish asher ruach bay. Yo'ir kino, he awakens the nest, those who are in his nest. What is the meaning of the nest? Shehu ma'ayra ha-moichin mitarde musan. Moichin means awareness. Of course, moich also means intelligence. It means the brain. But chassidus, moichin means awareness of God. You don't have to be somebody that has necessarily the highest scores on IQ or SATs or any of the other recitativas. You don't have to necessarily be such a person. You're a yid, and a yid has a tremendous ability to have moichin the godless. That means to have a great awareness of the Rebbeinu Shalom's presence in his life. When a person is filled with that awareness, it's called moichin the godless, great or mature understanding, awareness. When, God forbid, a person's awareness of Hashem is immature and small, and he doesn't really think about Hashem as Baruch, so then it's called moichin the katnus or moichin the kitnus. It means small or immature awareness. So when it says that the Nesha, the Tzaddik with his Ruach, wakes up his little ones, it means he wakes up the Moichin of Godless inside of each and every one of us. Our Moichin, our God awareness is in a state of sleep. Every one of us has those Koichas, just like when a person's asleep. Like the Tzaddikim said that the Baal Shem Tov came to wake up the world from its sleep. There's a whole Torah like that from the Rashab, from Lubavitch, other tzaddikim, to wake up the world from its sleep. That doesn't mean that there was anything new. It means that it was always there. All the koichas, however, were in a state of slumber, of being asleep. And the tzaddik is the ruach, and especially Baal Shem Tov, because the ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem, with the koichas of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, the koich of the tzaddik is to take that which is asleep and through blowing on it, through a ruach, to awaken the moichin, that God awareness that was very immature, that was sleeping. Each and every one of us in our lives, growing up, we were living in moichin the katnus, and we're looking to hear a good word from an erlich yid, from a tzaddik, that's going to be like that ruach from the person who's isha sheruach boy, that tzaddik with his words should be able to do what? Should be able to just like Hashem when he created Adam, should be able to exhale, and that ruach will be able to what? To awaken the moichin, the godless that a Jew has in him, gewaldige koiches. And the moichin, the understanding that a Jew can have of God is infinite. But the tzaddik is needed to awaken that, like the ruach, isha sheruach bay. That's what it means. Yo'ir kinoi, he awakens the nest, meaning those who are sleeping. That means that the tzaddik, through his ruach, awakens the moichin, that's the awareness or the understanding that's in a state of sleep, mitar demusan. Mibchinas moichin de katnus, to wake us up from our state of moichin de katnus, of small awareness, of immature and childish awareness. Mibchinas shena, from being asleep. Kinoi, and where do we see that kino, that the nest, has any relationship to understanding, to das, to intelligence and awareness? Da knei chachma, knei bina. It says again in Mishlei, acquire chachma, acquire intelligence, and acquire bina, acquire understanding. So Rabbi Nachman is making a play on the word knei, which is of course the letters hakein, which is the nest. Knei chachma. Knei Bina means that the nest of a Jew contains within it unbelievable kaiches of understanding of what? Of Chochmah and Bina. Knei Chochmah, Knei Bina. So Kanesher, that's the tzaddik, through the ruach of the tzaddik isha sheruach bay, Yair, he awakens from sleep the what? Kino, which is knei chachma, knei bina, which means acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Shem amoichin, which means one's awareness or understanding of God. Va'afilu malochim. And here Rabbi Nachman says a very shocking thing. We're not going to really go into this. Rabbi Nachman says, va'afilu malochim, even angels. Va'afilu malochim, kisharoitzim lasis dibush, yehnishmav in his kabal etzlam, v'bechinis oisei devar l'shmoy b'kol devar, right? Even malochim who want to be heard, angels who want to be heard by each other and in this world, the malachim also, in order for them to speak in a way that's coming from Das, in order that their words will be heard, what do the malachim do before they can be experienced by us in this world? This is part of davening. In order for the malachim to have an effect upon this world, again, we don't hear physically malachim, but the malachim are communicating with us. In order for us to be able to absorb the speech of the malachim, it means that the malachim have to speak from a place of das also. So what? From where do the malachim come to das? The terrace is, they tell stories about Hashem, about the tzaddik. So Rabbi Nachman says that the malachim, that's why it says, Azahim mishabchin u'mefarin, as Hashem is baruch tchi, like we say in davening. That the malachim, how do they get their das? So we get our das by doing what? By talking about the tzaddik. Because when we talk about the tzaddik, then our das becomes uplifted and affected by the ruach of the tzaddik who we're talking about. And that ruach becomes like this wind that wakes us up from our sleep. And then we can draw our words from Das, and then our words will be words that are toiv. And once our words are toiv, are good, then it's called dibur, and the words will be heard and received and appreciated and understood by all of our listening. So in order for the malach to be able to speak, the malach has to draw from Das. And in order for the Das of the malach, we have to talk in Yom Kippur, it's not for us. But in order for the malach to have das, it has to first begin by telling stories of the tzaddik. And which tzaddik do the malachim tell stories about? Hashem HaKel. They tell stories about Kulam, Magdish, Mefar, Magdish, Mamlichim. They tell stories about Hashem's Baruch. They speak about Hashem's greatness. And in doing so, their das connects to the das Elyon. They can tell stories firsthand about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've heard about, we've read about, they have insider information about these things. They begin by praising Hashem and telling stories of Hashem. Shehut tzaddik shalom, because Hashem is the tzaddik, is tzaddik shalom. He's the tzaddik of all worlds. He's the tzaddik Hashem. B'chinas tzaddik Hashem b'chol drachav. Hashem is called tzaddik. Hashem is a tzaddik. And now the malachim can speak in such a way where it's going to be heard. And that's what is meant when David HaMelech said that the angels are continuously blessing and praising Hashem. It means that they're telling stories of Hashem's greatness. Baruchu Hashem Malachav. Hainu, this means Hashavach Shemeshabchin Tchila Es Hashem's Baruch. These are the praises, the stories that the Malachim tell of Hashem's greatness. Shehu Tzadik Shalom, he's the Tzadik of the universe. V'acharkach, and only after they tell stories of Hashem and glorify Him and praise Him, V'acharkach Ayidei Zeh, and by means of telling these stories of Hashem and speaking about Hashem, I say devaray lishmoy b'kol devaro. Then are they able to reach that madrega of dibur, which is called I say devaro? Are they able to carry out Hashem's will and speak what they need to speak? Sh'aisen hadibur. Then they will be able to say words, the malachim, the angels, shu nishma v'niskabel, words that will be able to be heard and to be able to be absorbed. In Resh Mem Ches, which is on the photostated page, Resh Mem Ches, here you have a tiny Torah. Da. And you should know. Shesipurei Maisiyas Mitzadikim Hu Dover Gog Ma'oi. There are two chalokim, by the way, to look at the Moran. When I say a Torah, I mean the first chalik. If I'm talking about the second chalik, I'll always say the second chalik. Otherwise, if I just say the Torah, it means the first chalik. Da, Shesipurei Maisiyas Mitzadikim, telling stories of tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman taught, Hudova Gog Ma'oid. It's a very, very great thing. Ka'yidei Sipur Mitzadikim, that by telling stories of tzaddikim, Nisoyra V'nislahev Halev, this goes back to what we were saying before, where the ruach of the tzaddik is blowing on the heart of a Jew. It wakes you up. In the other Torah that we learned, in Chav Tes, Rabbi Nachman was talking about the das being awakened. Here Rabbi Nachman says that when you tell stories of tzaddikim, is nisoyrev and nislahev alev, the heart becomes awakened and nislahev becomes excited. This oyrev is godol Hashem Yisbarach b'cheshek nimratz ma'ayd, with a tremendous awakening and a cheshek, a powerful longing and yearning for God, when you tell stories of tzaddikim. That's why it's so important. It's so important, especially not just for children, but especially from the beginning, for children to hear Sipurei Maisiyas. And my children from the earliest age, we have a funny story now in Mishpacha that I once said here in Shul with my oldest daughter. She was maybe two. And there was a rabbi that was giving a talk, and my daughter was on my lap. My Meir, she was on my lap, and this Rav that was talking started to say over a mice, and he said there was a mice from the Baal Shem Tov, and he started to say over the mice that he was saying from the Baal Shem Tov, and my Meir was 2 years old. She screamed out, "It's not the Baal Shem Tov, it's the Baal HaTanya." She was right. And I said, "Shh." She says, "The Baal HaTanya, you told us it's the Baal HaTanya, not kid." So he was funny. He turns to me, he said, "Shut up, kid." Everybody was laughing. It was the Baal HaTanya. She's right. It's a Sipurei Maisiyas. Sipurei Maisiyas. My daughter told me that in high school, that in her class, where she is, that the teacher brought up the teacher asked any of you know who is the Vilna Gaon, what was his real name. So the teacher called on it, like the girls. So one of the girls, they said, I think that's the Baal Shem Tov. Right, big mistake over there. Right? So my daughter was so upset about that. How could somebody say, they're both tzaddikim beyond their understanding, but how is it you don't know? The children have to grow up that in the house they hear the names of tzaddikim from the beginning. Obviously, we're also not on a level to understand the tzaddik, but it should be part of their consciousness of being in this world, to hear names of tzaddikim, that it should be something with this. The shamus of tzaddikim is a very, very big, very big inyan. And I've told this to Chassanim and Kalis, that when oftentimes they ask me, so what should I think about when I'm on my way to the chuppah? You know, what's a good thing to think about? And I always say that the strongest thing is to just say names of tzaddikim. Same as you don't have to read all kinds of kitluch and tzetluch and all kinds of things they made now. Everything is laminated, of course, and nice and beautiful and printed. You don't have to do any of that. Just say Rabbi Akiva, say Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, say names of tzaddikim that you remember, Rashi, the Ramban, Rambam, say names of tzaddikim. The Sipur mitzaddikim and the Sayyid and the Slahev, he says, B'sayyid's God, Hashem's word, B'cheshek Nimrat Ma'oid, a very powerful cheshek. Why is that? So he says, Ki harishimu, this is what we were talking about before. What's that? Ki harishimu she'osa oisa tzadik she'mesab mimena, because that tzadik, as we learned at the beginning from the Zohar Kodesh, even though he physically left the world, he's not out of the world. He's still, there's Eilu told us noach, there's the tzadik that remains in this world. And the rishimu, that residue But that which remains from the tzaddik, when you tell shemisap minim aydei avdasas Hashem's bar zoyis hashim nisayreres, when you talk about that tzaddik, then very quietly, like right now, when we tell about Rabbi Nachman, very quietly, far away, in the Ukraine in Uman, so the reshim of that tzaddik is nisayre. His presence in this world is nisayre. It's awakened. The tzaddik's reshim was empowered, and when that happens. Then it infuses the person who's talking. First of all, as we're going to see in the next Torah, in Reish Lamadal, it brings all kinds of Yeshuas to the world. That's a separate thing. We'll talk about next week. But for the person who's telling the story, or the person who hears the story, it's ma'ayra gevaldiga koiches that come from the Ruach, the tzaddik that's misayra. It's like the tzaddik gives a scream and wakes up. And the one who told the story, who's telling the story, the tzaddik's Ruach connects to the Ruach of that person, to be ma'ayra that person with a cheshek for Hashem's Baruch, which is a taste of what that tzaddik felt for Hashem in his life. A tiny taste of what that tzaddik felt, you're able to experience when you hear Sipur Maisis of Tzaddikim, and when you tell over the Sipur Maisis of Tzaddikim, you're able to have a little bit of a tam of that koich. And it's light. And Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue with the Reish Lamed Daled next week.